opposing but synchronistic energies will transform so many different parts of your life, from how you show up in your work to how you feel in the bedroom, how you live out your relationships, and everything in between. When you truly get it on a deep level, it feels like you have got the keys to the universe in your hands. Really? Life can actually be this simple and this fulfilling? Who knew? So, if having this kind of insight and ability sounds like your cup of tea, you are definitely in the right place. Understanding polarity. Polarity, noun, the state of having two opposing tendencies or aspects. Think of firm energy like a flagpole. Strong, sturdy, stable, unshakable, and, despite the sometimes turbulent and wild winds, able to hold up its flag and stand strong. Think of fluid energy as the flag. Floaty and flexible, it dances, twirls and swirls in the wind. It wants to be and feel free, to flow, to create and express itself in expansive ways. The part most people miss? In their purest form, these different types of energy don't cancel each other out or seek supremacy. Instead, they complement and enhance the other in a dance of divine polarity. This divine polarity plays out on every level of our lives. From the global political stage, which is desperately in need of some fluid goddess love energy right now, to companies and corporations, communities, interpersonal relationships, and all the way down to us as individuals. Heck, even on a micro level, our cells are constantly reaching for harmony, balance, and collaboration. Fluid energy is diverse and flexible and can do many things at once while it twirls around. Imagine an artist in their studio with four brushes in one hand, paint palette in the other. He swirls between tins of paint at his feet whilst humming a tune and gripping a brush between his teeth. That's true fluid energy right there. Sure, it can get frenetic at times, the dance of the whirling dervish, if you will. But it can also be the world's most elegant, graceful ballet, a true symphony that thrives on its many moving parts. Firm energy is the polar opposite. It is focused and destination driven. It too is beautiful in its way. If we looked at it in terms of geometry, it would be made up of straight lines and angles, while fluid energy would be made up of swirls and curves. The thing is, when one type of energy tries to overpower the other, the different energies can't connect, and they get out of balance very quickly. Friction occurs, tension rises, and if this is occurring between two individuals, you start to butt heads. Instead of slotting into each other nicely, click, you repel each other like two magnets facing the wrong way. Spending too much time in this state is exhausting, not to mention can lead straight to D-land, divorce land. And it's even more exhausting when the imbalance is happening inside just one person. Understanding the fundamental principle of polarity, that one energy cannot exist without the other, and that neither is better than the other, is imperative, because these two halves make a sacred whole. The ancient yin and yang symbol is a perfect representation of this. Both halves intertwined harmoniously and absolutely necessary. And if you look closely at the yin and yang symbol, you'll see that each half contains the potentiality of the other. For so long, one half of our material dynamic, the male, has dominated human behavior and relationships. And this is reflected in the imbalance in global energies. But just as men cannot exist without women, firm energy truly cannot exist without fluid. And both are strong through the presence of the other. Without their complement, that'd be one-sided and weak. United, when they literally embrace their opposite, they form a divinely perfect whole. Creating harmony between these two polarities. Of course, while the yin and yang symbol shows a geometrically perfect split between the two, real life is rarely so clean-cut. Each of us embodies these energies in our own way at different times. Some of us naturally lean towards one end of the spectrum, some the other, while some are squarely in the middle. These differences are part of what makes each of us unique and awesome. But all of us contain both energies, no matter our gender. And all of us can sometimes let our energies get out of balance. It's important to note, though, that when we talk about balanced or imbalanced energies, we're not aiming for a precisely 50-50 split. We're aiming to achieve divine harmony inside ourselves, whatever that might look like for you, taking into account your natural tendencies. To understand how imbalance plays out, it can be helpful to see it in action. When firmness lacks fluidity, it becomes so driven as to be destructive. Think of a Wall Street CEO who has all the money, power, and possessions she could want, but no time to breathe and no family to love. Or a friend who's pushing themselves hard and is so close to burnout but can't give themselves permission to rest. Both of those are signs that the person is lacking fluidity within. On the flip side, when fluidity lacks firmness, the structure of the energy is very scattered and unpredictable. Imagine pouring water onto the surface of a table. It's bound to spill everywhere. And it's not contained, focused, or directed. There is no structure, that is, no firm container in place to hold the fluid energy. An example? Think of a friend who always has a million ideas but nothing to show for them. Or that feeling when you really want to achieve your goals but you can't seem to stop watching Netflix. That's when you know you need to turn up that firm, directional energy. So we know what the imbalance looks like, but what about divine harmony? Divine balance might look like someone who is absolutely kicking ass on their business goals while also enjoying a robust and fulfilling social life. Or someone who is creating their soul's work while also looking after themselves and their body, or someone who lovingly fills their own cup while also devotedly looking after their kids and family. Once you understand the fundamental qualities of both energies, including the natural strengths of each, you'll be better able to find your own perfect balance and create more powerfully from that fullness. Then, when you step into a relationship, you'll continue to hold that belief that you count. There will be no push or shove, no competition or invalidation. Neither will there be a winner or a loser, a better or worse, a right or a wrong. There is simply balance between the two of you and within yourself. And once balanced, you will recognize yourself and move forward, joyfully painting outside the lines with others who celebrate you. The sacred dance of energies. Consciously and intentionally incorporating both energies into your life is a sacred dance that we can embody with either elegance or resistance. It's a conscious choice. Your choice. There are times in my life when I need to call more on my firm energy. For example, when I'm in the middle of a business launch, changing a car tire, packing for a holiday, getting my stepson Leo organized for school, running team meetings, looking at profit and loss statements, about to walk out on stage, or listening to my husband chat about index funds and compound interest. This doesn't mean I can't still bring fluidity to those tasks. In fact, that's the goal. It simply means that for me personally, those activities require me to be more firm so I can call in more of that energy. Then there are times when I need to soften and embrace my fluid energy. For example, when Leo comes to me crying after hurting himself, when my bestie breaks up with her boyfriend, when I'm holding a baby, when I'm with my parents, and when I'm in the kitchen cooking, in yoga or dance class, while I'm meditating, painting, drawing, journaling, writing a love letter or a thank you card, when I'm taking a bath, and when I'm responding to an email that needs extra love and attention. I know deep in my bones that these times are the moments when calling on that divine fluid energy is very much needed. The moral, of course, is that both energies are necessary and serve a purpose. And the best thing you can do is know when you need to call on one more than the other and recognize when they are out of balance and act accordingly. This knowledge is as unique as the individual, and there is no right or wrong. It requires you to tune inward and not compare yourself to anyone else, because we are all so different. And let it be said, it's an incredibly valuable skill to master. So let's learn how to do that right now. Whip out your pen and your journal for our first inspo action. Answer these questions. When do you notice you are more in your firm energy? For example, maybe at work or in a boxing class. Write that down now. When do you notice you might need more of that firm energy? Maybe you need to be more assertive at work or with your boss. When do you notice you are most fluid? Maybe it's when you are tucking your kids into bed at night, or when you're making love or baking a cake. When do you notice you might need more fluidity and softness? Maybe you need to soften when your kids come to you with their homework, when your partner walks in the door, or when you're learning or trying something new. How are you orchestrating both of these energies to create a beautiful symphony that is your life? Are there any times when you require both of them in equal balance? Dancing between the sacred energies is a skill that gets strengthened with use. Like the tango, the more you practice, the smoother the transitions. Embrace both. Embody both, play with both energies, and most importantly, have fun with it, because this plays out in all your relationships. Psst, want to see firmness and fluidity in action? It's one thing to hear about these life-changing principles in an audiobook. It's another thing entirely to see them in action in a real-life relationship. That's why my husband and I have teamed up to create the Open Wide Video Masterclass, a free online workshop to help you take these potent concepts and bring them to life in your home, your relationships, and yes, even your bedroom. Head to melissaambrosini.com/openwide to watch now. Key takeaways from Chapter 1. There is a divine life force that runs through every living thing. It's an innate intelligence that beats our heart, sprouts a seed, and blooms a bud, and it's seeking communion above all else. It wants to know itself, and because it's in everything, in all of us, it means that we too are seeking communion. Our natural state as humans is to be in relationship with others. An awakening is happening. In the West, we are witnessing an energetic renaissance as people remember, because deep down we've always known, the divine interplay between the masculine and the feminine. Change is possible, and it starts with us. Every person has firm and fluid energy within them, regardless of whether they're male or female. Every relationship has both energies too, regardless of whether they are heterosexual or same-sex. When both energies unite in a divine dance, creative magic is the result. Remember the yin and yang symbol? Each half honors the other, holds space for them to flourish, and will help unlock their full potential. Chapter 2, Unleashing Your God Essence. When we speak of the divine feminine energy, which I call your God essence, by no means is this something that applies only to women. As I mentioned in Chapter 1, we all possess both masculine and feminine energy within us, regardless of your gender or sexuality. Its presence is innate. It's part of you. It's always been there, and you couldn't get rid of it if you tried, sister or brother. God essence is part of us all, men and women, boys and girls. Your father, grandfather, uncle, boyfriend, the guy you sat next to in high school English, all of them have feminine energy inside them. Just as all of the women in your life have masculine energy too. In Eastern traditions, the left side of the body is believed to correlate to the feminine, and the right side, the masculine. In yoga, these energies are known as yin and yang, or Shiva and Shakti. This is, of course, not a new concept. It is, however, experiencing a re-emergence, an exciting rebirth back into the collective consciousness. Why? Because we need her. We need to tap into and reconnect with our God essence energy now more than ever. The world is craving her softness, grace, love, warmth, openness, intuition, light, strength, and leadership more than ever before. To make sure we're on the same page here, let's talk definitions. Divine feminine, or your God essence, stems from a place of receiving, softness, being, allowing, listening, absorbing, and nurturing. She embodies full acceptance of all, which means no longer trying to fix, change, or improve others or oneself. She is relaxed yet resilient, sensitive yet strong, gentle yet firm, loving and compassionate, and knows how to hold her boundaries. By contrast, she is not the energy of aggression, doing, fighting, or forcing. For the millennia since the birth of the patriarchy, true God essence energy has been downplayed, demeaned, and removed from her place of honor and reverence, which has caused a serious imbalance. This is why, for most of us, male or female, our relationship with our innate God essence is, well, kind of screwy. Right from birth, we've been programmed in a myriad of ways, some subtle, some overt, to believe that feminine energy and qualities are less than, that we should embody as many of the masculine qualities as possible and do our best to hide and diminish everything else. I distinctly remember crying as a young girl and my father demanding me to pull my socks up and get on with it. Big girls don't cry, he would say. That may be why many of us have some healing to do on our relationship with our divine feminine. Before we go any further, let's get one thing straight. This isn't about dissing men or promoting the idea that women are superior, better than, stronger, or taking over. Not at all. This is about rebalancing the divine feminine and the divine masculine and reconnecting with your God essence so that we can consciously create together as individuals and collectively as a whole in this modern world. God essence lives in each of us already, but due to the repression she has been experiencing for so long, it takes healing at an individual level for a woman to reignite this power inside herself. So, are you ready to come on this journey? Are you ready for some deep soul nourishment to unleash your divine feminine and balance your divine masculine? It's time to ignite the powerhouse goddess inside you that has been waiting for the chance to shine. Let's do it, beautiful. One of the most powerful ways to reconnect with your God essence is by consciously embodying one of her archetypes. What's an archetype? Essentially, it's an idea, theme, or a motive that is so deeply embodied in our collective psyche that we all relate to it without even thinking of it. These universal themes are so powerful. They transcend time, culture, gender, everything. If you've ever read a fairy tale and encountered a gallant knight or a wicked witch or a damsel in distress, then you've experienced the power of an archetype before instinctively. We know the essence of those characters without even being told. Though it must be said, many of the feminine archetypes in fairy tales aren't exactly empowering. Thankfully, there are plenty of archetypes that are empowering. But figuratively, stepping into the shoes of those different figures, you can start experiencing and strengthening different aspects of your feminine self and observing how the different character traits feel in your body. Though there are many archetypes present in the psyche, the following six are my favorites. The six archetypes. The warrioress. Due to the dominant patriarchal culture, the warrioress has been the least understood and represented archetype. Think Wonder Woman, Pocahontas, Joan of Arc, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She is strong yet remains warm and will stand up for what she truly believes in. She is clear, selfless, humble, directional, courageous, and decisive, particularly with respect to her role in serving others. I call on this archetype when I'm about to walk out on stage and I want to feel grounded and confident. I also channel her when I want to feel collaborative, compassionate, and not competitive. The warrioress treats all with love and respect and makes you feel safe and calm in her presence. You may like to call on her when you're about to give a big presentation at work or need to address someone about a challenging situation. The lover. The lover archetype is a blend of sex and spirit. Think Aphrodite, Mary Magdalene, Shakespeare's Juliet, and Belle from Beauty and the Beast. She is passionate, creative, ecstatic, and exquisitely engaged in life. She desires all forms of sensory contact and basks in the beauty and joy of life. I call on her not only when I want to feel sensual and sexy, but when I need to play and want to express myself freely. You might like to call on her when you're wrapped in the arms of your honey, or when you want to play or come back to the present moment via some form of creative expression. The Goddess. She is the domain of spirituality, mystical experience, and intuition. Think Athena, Greek goddess of strength and clear thinking. Diana, Roman goddess of nature and hunting. Branwen, Celtic goddess of love and beauty. Freya, Norse goddess of love, sex, beauty, and fertility. Tara, Tibetan goddess of compassion. Kali, Hindu goddess of time, creation, destruction, and power. And Charan, Etruscan goddess of love, health, and fertility. She is the creatrix, intrinsically desiring newness and actively seeking out fresh experiences, possibilities, and connection out of stagnation. She is my favorite archetype to embody. I call on her daily because she is bursting with energy, wisdom, and creativity. When you are in the presence of someone fully expressing their goddess archetype, you feel it. You can't help but want to soak up some of their inspired energy, groundedness, love, drive, and wisdom. It's contagious. You might like to call on her when you want to feel energetic or express yourself creatively. The Queen or the Mother. The Mother is the strongest of the archetypes. Think Mary, Cleopatra, Euripides Media, or if we look to contemporary culture, Daenerys Targaryen in Game of Thrones and Miranda Bailey in Grey's Anatomy. Perhaps the best known embodiment, however, is Mother Nature. Maternal creator and nurturer of Earth and all its inhabitants. And although she is the giver of life and the queen of the castle, she is also the one who can, at times, get the most overwhelmed with her role, which is the authority and the stewardess of the home and family. I not only call on her when I'm nurturing and mothering Leo, my friends, children, and the elderly, but also when I want to birth ideas or products into the world. Because just as the goddess archetype is the creatrix inspiring vision and imagination, the queen is the one who gives birth to the creation, then actively looks to its growth and prospering. You might like to call on her when you're caring for your loved ones or when you're about to send a new project out into the world. The Wise Woman. This much misunderstood archetype is often labeled a witch by the patriarchy and is feared for her abilities. The wise man is very common. Think Dumbledore, Gandalf, Obi-Wan Kenobi. But the wise woman trope is frequently distorted to only show her shadow side. Like the evil queen in Snow White, Maleficent in Sleeping Beauty, and Ursula in The Little Mermaid. But rather than being a tool for evil, her wisdom is actually a powerful force for transformation, healing, and growth. She advocates right action, also known as Dharma in the yogi world, and is notorious for observing without judgment. I call on her in heated moments when I need to be the observer in a situation. It can feel challenging at times to not react. So it takes awareness and consciousness to sit as the wise woman and just observe. This is often when new possibilities are revealed to us, possibilities we may not have noticed had we not been the observer. The Priestess. The Priestess is the domain of intuitive awareness and insight. Think Pythia, priestess of Apollo's temple at Delphi, known for her prophecies. And Ishkara, priestess of Ishtar and Babylonian goddess of love. She is intentional and reflective, having great depth to her presence and intellect. She is the connector between the material and spiritual worlds and knows how to dance elegantly between the two. She understands that the inner and outer worlds are reflections of each other, and she doesn't let them rock her from her grounded presence because she knows there is something bigger at play. She knows deep down everything is unfolding exactly the way it's meant to. So I personally call on her when I need to remember that, and I aim to bring grace to those times, just as she would. You can call on her when you feel your boat is a little rocked and you need to channel some more ease and grace. Inspo action. Whip out your journal and your pen and answer these questions. Is there a particular archetype that resonates with you right now? Which of her qualities do you feel most attracted to? How could you embody more of her essence in your own life? Is there a particular area of your life where you especially need to call on her? At different times, you may connect with one goddess in particular, or perhaps a blend of two or three. Look closely at the qualities you want to cultivate more of, then see how you can call on and embody the corresponding archetypes for different periods in your daily life. One of my favorite ways to embody a particular archetype is to choose a personal talisman that represents her. For example, I have many long, flowy skirts that to me have always symbolized the goddess. If I want to draw on that power and essence, I'll wear one of those skirts. I also have a big, heavy wooden necklace that immediately makes me feel like Cleopatra or some sort of tribal queen. Whenever I want to feel especially queen-like, I'll pop that necklace on and I'm instantly reminded of my sovereign power. Of course, there are plenty of other ways to spark up your divine god essence. How to unlock, embrace, and nurture your god essence. There are many ways to unlock, embrace, and nurture your god essence, but here are some of my favorites. Master your mean girl. As I mentioned at the start of the book, your mean girl is that little voice inside your head that lives in a constant state of fear. Some people call it your ego, your shadow self, your smaller self, your dark side, your inner critic. Maybe even name it like Frank, Bob, or Mary. I call that voice my inner mean girl, and for the sake of simplicity throughout this book, I will refer to it as my mean girl. What do you call yours? The actual name you give this voice isn't important, but the act of giving it a name is. This is because it reminds you that that voice is not the truth of who you are. You are pure love. And when you give it a name, it helps you remember that you are not that limiting voice. The thing is, we all have that fear-based voice inside our head. No one is exempt from this. But we are all also love. And although you may think some people don't or aren't love and only have the dark side, this is not the case. We all have both. Your inner God essence knows that and embraces both the light and dark. There is a front and a back, light and a dark, to everything. Just in case you're not clear, your fear-based mean girl voice says things like, you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not smart enough, this won't happen to you, you'll never get out of debt, you won't find your soulmate, you're going to be alone forever, you'll never heal, get over yourself. Financial freedom doesn't happen for people like you. Give up before you humiliate yourself. Who do you think you are? You're not worthy of X, Y, and Z. She's prettier, skinnier, and more worthy of X, Y, and Z than you. Does that sound familiar? Don't worry. Mine used to say a lot worse than this. Where most people fall short is that they think they are those thoughts, and they believe them to be true. But this is not the case. You are not those thoughts, and they are not who you are. This doesn't mean we suppress any feelings and emotions when they arise. Oh, no. The divine feminine knows how to use them to her advantage to support her growth and evolution, even if they seem totally negative. When she is triggered by something or someone resulting in one of those fear-based mean girl statements popping up, she masters her by following my 3-step mastering your mean girl process. Step 1, practice awareness. Become aware when your mean girl pops up and tells you you're not good enough, pretty enough, thin enough, smart enough, earning enough, sexy enough, whatever enough. For most people, these sorts of fear-based beliefs pop up the nanosecond they are in their truth. Yet we're usually so unconscious and not present that we're not even aware of this internal dialogue. So we can't do anything about it. That's why bringing your awareness to her and what she is saying is the first step. Step 2, gently close the door on her. Once you are aware that she has popped up, you can now choose to gently close the door on her. It's not about fighting her or waging an inner battle. That'll just cause more pain and suffering. Instead, it's a gentle, grateful act that comes from a place of love. Think of her like an annoying salesperson who comes knocking on your door. You don't invite them in for a cup of tea and let them give you their 45-minute spiel about a product you don't want. You simply say, "Thank you, but no thank you. I'm not interested." Simple. Step 3. Choose love instead. Once you have gently closed the door on her, choose to come back to your heart and choose love instead of fear. It's so much more fulfilling when you do. Do this every time your mean girl pops up and you will be well on your way to mastering her. It's important to note that, like everything, the more you practice it, the easier it gets. Deepak Chopra says women have roughly between 60 and 80,000 thoughts per day. So that's potentially 80,000 times you can practice mastering your mean girl in one day. Do it every time and you'll soon become an expert. Light and dark, love and fear. That polarity must exist. And the divine feminine can see when she is heading toward the dark and knows how to return to the light as quickly as possible. She does that through coming back to the present moment, the only moment we have. Inspo action. Whip out your pen and your journal. Write down absolutely everything your mean girl is currently saying to you. Then I want you to turn each one of those statements into light. For example, if your mean girl is saying financial freedom won't happen for people like me, you can turn that into, "I am abundant, generous, and financially free. Money is a source of happiness for me." Or if your mean girl is saying you're not pretty enough and skinny enough to call in your soulmate, you can transform that into, "I am whole, complete, beautiful, and love myself unconditionally. I feel this deep in my heart, and so will my soulmate." Or if she is saying, "You will never heal," you can turn that around to, "I am healthy and strong and glowing from the inside out." We're going to go into a whole lot more detail on how to master your mean girl in the next chapter. But for now, this soul-fueled flip from dark to light will help you steer yourself toward love, your true nature and put your mean girl in her place. Create sacred practices or rituals. Since I embarked on my quest for truth, I've read a lot of books, studied the great leaders, and attended more personal development workshops than you can poke an organic cinnamon stick at. I became fascinated with spiritual teachers such as Eckhart Tolle, Gandhi, Oprah, Louise Hay, Marianne Williamson, Buddha, Tony Robbins, Nelson Mandela, Deepak Chopra, and many more. And what I discovered was that all these successful people had daily rituals and practices they performed that allowed them to connect to their truth. Eckhart Tolle, for example, meditates every day. Tony Robbins has an elaborate morning routine that includes breath work, bouncing on a rebounder, and cold therapy. Deepak Chopra uses affirmations and mantras every single day. Seeing how many successful people used rituals in their life, I thought I would be my own human guinea pig and give some of them a go. So as the overachiever I am, I meditated, chanted, journaled, did morning pages, sang, saluted the sun, downward dogged, sun gazed, oil pulled, scraped my tongue, did coffee enemas, did water, garlic, oregano, and probiotic retention enemas, pulled angel cards, danced nude, took cleansing baths, read spiritual texts, saged myself, cleansed my aura, did breath work, prayed, wrote out my fears, then burnt them, sat at my altar and prayed, rebounded, dry body brushed, and all before 9 a.m. And you know what? It's all great and it felt freaking awesome, but I'm not saying you have to do all of that. Absolutely not. You don't even need to do 9/10 of it. And let's face it, I work from home and don't have 4 kids, so time allowed me to do all of those things, but not everyone has as much time. As a starting point, you could simply close your eyes, breathe deeply, and sit for 1 minute. That's it. To be honest, it doesn't matter what you do. As long as it brings you a deep level of connection with your true higher self, love, consciousness, spirit, your heart, your soul, whatever you want to call it, and allows you to honor that we are all part of something far greater than ourselves. Sacred practice menu. Create an epic playlist and dance to it while nude and alone in your bedroom or in your sexiest lingerie. Sing like nobody's listening. Meditate. Be still. Walk barefoot in nature, preferably without your phone. Write poetry. Sip herbal tea in the sunshine. Play with your jade egg. More on that later. File your nails. Give yourself an organic homemade face scrub or mask. Paint, draw, create art, whatever that means for you. Play with angel cards. Pray. Take breaks throughout your day to just sit and be. Slow down with everything you do. Set an intention for the day or before you go to sleep at night. Journal or do morning pages. Diffuse some organic essential oils and spend quiet time alone. Dry body brush your entire body while repeating thank you or I love you out loud. Take a goddess bath with Epsom salts, essential oils, and rose petals. Make your own essential oil self-care products such as oil perfume blends, rollers, and massage balls. Light a beeswax candle and give yourself a goddess massage using organic coconut oil. Move your body by stretching or doing yoga. Create your own sacred altar with candles, flowers, crystals, affirmations, your vision board, meaningful symbols, and angel cards. Kneel before it each morning and set an intention for the day. Do pranayama or any other cleansing breath work. Invoke goddess archetypes. Go for an aura cleanse, aka a dive in the ocean. Connect with Mother Earth by hugging a tree, staring at the sky, or feeling your feet on the grass or sand. Sacred practices work best when you consciously carve out time in your day to slow down and replenish yourself. So if you can add little pockets throughout your day, please do. And just as with everything else, remember that what's right for someone else may not be right for you. Your friend may love coffee enemas, whereas you'd rather let nothing near your bum except loo paper. That's totally okay. You do you. As long as you choose something that awakens your femininity, fuels your heart and soul, and feels divine to you, you're on the right track. Inspo action. Without your pen and paper. Using mine as a guide, I invite you to create your own sacred practice menu that can be enjoyed at any time of the day. Once you have created your menu, print it out and stick it on your bathroom mirror. Then when you feel called, you can do one or more things from that menu, but make sure it feels good in your bones, because what works for me may not work for you. Understand cycles. Women are cyclical beings, and when you tune into the natural cycles of life, and especially your own menstrual cycle, not only will you get a deeper understanding of yourself and your body, but you will strengthen your connection to your divine God essence. I'm the living, breathing proof of this. It wasn't until I stopped hating my body and my period and deeply connected to my own internal rhythm that I was able to unlock a neglected part of my creativity, strengthen my intuition, flex my self-love muscle, and experience true wellness, self-awareness, and soulful sex. Unfortunately, my period story is not that unusual. From 18 to 24, I was on the pill, which completely numbed any connection I felt to my body or my cycle. I went on the pill at 18 because I didn't want to fall pregnant and to clear up my skin. I skipped periods too many times because I thought that bleeding during a holiday, a party, or an audition was totally not okay. I also thought that experiencing PMS, cramps, vomiting, diarrhea, and fainting were normal. I responded to these symptoms with the strongest painkillers I could find, numbing myself at every opportunity. I thought pads were gross, so I would shove toxic tampons full of bleach and chemical-laden cotton, which is what 99% of tampons are made of, up my vagina and leave them in there all day and even sleep with them in overnight, all because I had so much shame over one of the most natural and beautiful things our bodies do. When I finally discovered the repercussions of being on the pill and what it was doing to me, I decided to stop taking it, assuming everything would instantly right itself. Nope. I didn't get my period again for almost 2 years. According to my friend Dr. Nat Gringudis, a natural fertility expert, the pill takes your hormones offline. It can numb you, making you feel detached from your own body. Once I heard this information, I made it my mission to get my absent period back naturally and to chart my cycle, and I made a promise to myself to honor my body as the temple and incredible giver of life that it is. This didn't happen overnight. It was a journey, and one that I'm still on, but holy shakti, has it been a worthwhile ride. Connecting with my internal cycle has been life-changing and has allowed me to fully embrace who I am and what it means to be a woman. It has been truly profound. If only this taboo topic was talked about in schools. Before I understood the magic of menstruation, I thought we ladies were linear. like you were either bleeding or not, and that was it, on or off, like a light switch. I didn't understand that our cycles are complex and that our body, mood, metabolism, and hormones fluctuate throughout the month. There is a ton of sciencey information out there about how our hormones go up and down like a roller coaster throughout the menstrual cycle. But for me, it was reading so many great books that talk about the different phases we go through as seasons that finally made everything click. What do I mean by seasons? Well, just as the natural world has seasons, summer, autumn, winter, spring, so does our body go through similar phases each month. We kick off with menstruation when you're actually bleeding, which falls on approximately days 1 to 6 of your cycle. This is known as your winter. It's a fluid phase, and just like the winter in nature, this is your time to go inward and hibernate if you can. You may feel very low in energy as your body undertakes the mammoth task of releasing the previous cycle through your blood. This is essentially a dying phase as we shed what is no longer serving us before we are reborn again. Unlike summer, this phase is about your relationship with yourself and is a great time for self-reflection. To slow down, to switch off social media, to say no thank you to invites, turn off your phone and emails, and to rest and recharge as much as possible. Your hormones are at rock bottom here, so this is the time to really up the self-love and the self-care. Journal, rest. Don't set an alarm and let your body wake when it wants to if you can. Connect with Mother Nature by lying belly to belly on the earth. Eat hearty, slow-cooked, warming foods. Sip raspberry leaf tea. Curl up with a good book. Use heat packs and up your magnesium, especially in the first 2 days. If you work for yourself, give yourself permission to take your first day or 2 days off if you can. If you work for someone else, why not open wide and lovingly express to your boss how you feel on your first day and ask if you can work from home that day? It may not be possible, but at least you asked. The UK social community group Coexist created a period policy that allows women to take time off during their cycle. Japan has offered menstrual leave policies for decades, and recently, Italy was the first European country to introduce this policy too. This is very exciting. You can also tell your partner, friends and kids, you are in your winter so they know to give you a little more space and to be a little gentler with you. Maybe your partner or roommates can cook for you, or they could go out and you can relish your alone time. I used to hate bleeding and considered it a massive inconvenience to my social calendar because I couldn't go full steam ahead. Bleeding got in my way of doing and achieving, or so I told myself. I now love the winter phase. I allow myself to stay in bed on my first day. I go inward, grab my heat pack and journal. I mostly use reusable organic cotton Red Moon pads or a Juju cup. These products are great, especially if you work from home. I know some women who wear reusable organic moon pads to their office on their lighter days, but when I'm out and about, I prefer my Juju cup or organic tampons. To be honest, I rarely use tampons, and most are full of toxic chemicals. I will also always aim to use my pads over my Juju cup, as I feel it can limit the natural flow and connection with my cycle. And I believe we are meant to be letting the blood flow out, not keeping it in. I also put my legs up the wall, rest, watch Sex and the City, and sip herbal tea. I practice crystal clear communication, also known as CCC, with Nick and Leo, letting them know that I need some space and politely and with love ask them to honor that. I give myself permission to just be. Your winter is about introspection, which is why it's important to have some space and time for yourself. You become an open source of wisdom as you shed, so it can be an especially powerful time to ask yourself questions like, what needs to be let go of? What needs to be released and purged? And what needs shedding? Crystal Clear Communication Overview. CCC is the best relationship tool for your toolkit. CCC is about speaking from your heart, not your head. Being fully present with the person in front of you and listening with both ears. It's about opening wide and speaking your truth honestly and crystal clearly. After you have fully allowed yourself to rest and you're feeling a little more energy return, you can start to set your intentions for the coming month. This is a great time to get clear on what you want to create in the weeks ahead. But don't go gung-ho just yet. All you're doing is getting clear and setting intentions for what you want to manifest. The energy and space you hold in your winter will set the intention you carry forth, so make it count. But winter is not a time for doing and go, go, go. It's a time to be, rest, and restore. Of course, you may have to work or be responsible for family duties, or you may not be able to take the whole first day of your winter as a rest day, but all it takes is a few minutes. Get up before everyone else and simply sit and breathe. Ask your partner or a friend to take the kids outside after school so that you can do 10 minutes of yin yoga or get everyone into bed earlier so you can take a bath. Think creatively here about how you can make it happen. Communicate it with your family and then take action. The weeks we have Leo, I move things around in my calendar so that I make sure self-care is still at the top of my to-do list. If it's not, and I let it slip, I'm not a very nice human to be around, and no one deserves that. Our spring phase is approximately days 6 to 13 in our cycle, and it's when we are pre-ovulatory or possibly ovulating if you're an early ovulator. This is a very yang phase, and you may feel a surge of firm energy. This is a time to take massive action on your dreams and goals. Working out logical problems can feel like a breeze as you re-emerge into the world after your winter, feeling renewed, refreshed, and with a spring in your step. Your energy is up, and you may even feel trim, lean, and light. This is a time to get back into exercise, start new projects, launch a program, try something new, or spring clean your home. But remember, this isn't summer yet. So still be gentle with yourself and don't go full steam ahead all at once, or you run the risk of driving yourself into the ground. Our summer, approximately days 14 to 21, is when ovulation and post-ovulation take place. And you may feel more energized and ready to tackle big tasks and goals. This too is a very yang phase and a time we may feel more playful, social, and extroverted. The summer phase is all about relationships with others. So this is a great time to host dinner parties, give the presentation at work, go on holidays, catch up with your besties, do your workshop, and be around others. You may also find you have more energy to exercise, lift heavier weights at the gym, and go the extra mile, literally and figuratively. You may also be more tolerant and patient, which is great if you have kids. The next phase is your autumn, approximately days 22 to 28, when you are post-ovulation and premenstrual. Just as the leaves drop off the trees, your hormones drop too. Unlike summer, where you feel social and extroverted and ready to launch big projects into the world, autumn is more about taking stock of what did and didn't work that month and in our life. It's about telling the truth, getting real, and letting go of anything that is no longer serving you. You are preparing for your monthly release, so anything you've been hiding from can show up. There is a very keep or destroy energy in the premenstrual phase, and you can feel less tolerant than in your summer. You may want to say no thank you to things that require you to be more extroverted, like presentations at work, dinner parties, events, or birthdays. Of course, sometimes this may not be possible and you don't have the option to decline. And for women with irregular cycles, which is many of us, trying to organize future events around your moon can be tricky. The best thing you can do if you find yourself in your winter and having to engage in tasks that you don't feel like doing is to make sure you give yourself loads of extra self-love. Up your self-care and be kind and gentle with yourself. This always helps me. Connecting with your own body's natural rhythm is one of the most precious gifts you can give yourself and teach your daughters. Your true self embraces all the phases of your cycle and is in awe of the capability of her temple. Cycle recap. Winter, menstruation, and yin time. Time to reflect on the past month, let go, and open wide to receiving clarity. Also a great time to start planning, setting goals and intentions for the spring. Spring, pre-ovulation, a yang time. This season is all about implementation and taking inspired action. Summer, ovulation, a yang phase. Time to take serious action and bring your dreams to fruition. Autumn, post-ovulation or premenstrual, and this is a very yin phase. It's a great time for introspection to edit and refine. Ask yourself what worked and what is no longer serving you. Going deeper, connecting your cycle with the moon phases. Did you know that the word menstruation is derived from the Latin word for month, which itself also means moon? And it's no mistake that the lunar cycle and our menstrual cycle are both on average 28 days long. Of course, this varies from woman to woman, and even in the one individual might not be the same from month to month. So please don't beat yourself up if your cycle is longer or shorter than this, or if you vary widely each cycle. My average cycle is 30 days, but can be anywhere from 27 to 37 days. Your cycle is affected by your environment, things like stress, sleep, your diet, alcohol, medication, travel, hormone disorders like PCOS, illness, and even exercise will all have an impact. But once you know yourself intimately and understand your body on a deeper level, you'll be able to embrace and flow with your cycle no matter what it is and pivot accordingly. Inspo action. Whip out your pen and paper. The best way to become more connected to your cycle and ultimately your divine feminine is by charting your cycle. You can do this manually in your diary or by using an app like I do. Some great apps are Period Tracker, Clue, Natural Cycles, The Daisy, Kindra, and M-Cycle. I'm sure there are plenty of other great ones too, so have a little search and pick the one you like best. I personally love and use Period Tracker. I really find joy in connecting with my body and charting my cycle. You can make notes about anything, the food you're craving, any relationship conflict, what's working and what's not working, and soon you will start to see patterns or cycles more clearly. You will see when you feel more sensual, when you're more intuitive, and when you're more likely to be short or even snappy. Once you've chosen your preferred method of charting, get started today and enjoy becoming deeply in tune with yourself.